Okay, everyone, Monday the 18th of March, and we are back with the first morning briefing of the week. I am Hamish. We've got Tony and Ryan with me as well to chat all things Celtic. And yeah, it was quite an enjoyable weekend, I thought. We're back top of the league. We've overtaken, usurped our rivals, who didn't get any points this weekend. Not a single point down Govan Way. Plus three this weekend and all of that stuff. Does anyone want to top me up in terms of my enjoyment at the fact we're back top?
No, I think you've done a good job.
I think you forgot the word leapfrogged.
Yes. We won't look back now. We won't look back. Trust me, guys. Trust me.
Hope you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm obviously joking. Rangers game was called off yesterday, means that we go into the break top of the league. But we do genuinely have some positivity to talk about Saturday's game. Maybe a wee bit of stuff to work on as well. We will get into all of that. First up, want to take a moment to thank our sponsors, MPH Boilers, who've recently become proud community partners, Celtic community partners. For all the Celtic fans listening and watching, MPH Boilers is bringing you a special home cover plan offer. You can get comprehensive coverage for just 99 pence a month for the first 6 months. This includes everything from annual boiler service to full heating system, plumbing and gas supply pipe coverage. After the first 6 months, the plan upgrades to just £25 a month for the remaining 6 months, ensuring your home is always in top condition all year round. If you're interested in this offer, message MPH Boilers Facebook page and quote MPH Celtic or call MPH Boilers directly on 0800 779 7778 and quote MPH Celtic. A fantastic way to support your home this year, and a big thanks to MPH Boilers for supporting the podcast and being a Celtic community partner, and you can keep an eye out for their branding around the pitch. Just quickly, Ryan, the deal as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're running our best ever deal at this moment in time. The uptake has been absolutely incredible so far in the first, 4 or 5 days of running it. We've got plenty of new subscribers, but we're looking for more. We're looking for as many as we can. 6 months of access for just a single pound. You'll also be getting a free Kyogo print made by Frankie, who is well known on Twitter and other social media websites. She's worked with the Scottish, the SFA on stuff, the Scottish national team on prints as well as other teams as well. So if you're looking for a good deal, then please subscribe to the Celtic Way website, www.celticway.co.uk/subscribe. £1 for 6 months and you will get that free Kyogo print as well. Please get involved if you haven't done so already. Our best ever deal. And yeah, thank you very much to everyone that's done so far.
Great stuff, thanks for that, Ryan. And Derry is one person, cracking deal on the website, can't wait to get my Kyogo print. And it's an even more enjoyable Kyogo print, guys, after Kyogo returned to the starting lineup at the weekend and reminded us of the brilliance he offers us. And for me, Tony, out of all the positives from the weekend, that's the number one. Kyogo was back, he was stretching the game, he was running in behind, he had a hand in the first two goals, scored one, set one up, could have had three or four others. He was really good, I thought.
The number nine was the number one, wasn't it? Basically, that was vintage Kyogo. That's the Kyogo you've grown to love over the past couple of years. And I think it was noticeable because Kuhn played with his head up and serviced him, which has not been notable of the Celtic wingers. That's a big, big part of it. But Kyogo just decided that he was going to take that game by the scruff of the neck. Even, I said to Ryan on Saturday, even when it hit the kind of 40-minute mark and Celtic hadn't scored, I never felt panicked. It didn't feel like one of those kind of games where Celtic weren't going to make the breakthrough or score, like the last St Johnstone game at home. Always felt it was coming. And I just thought Kyogo was going to be the man to get him off the score sheet. And I said on Saturday, he's a really brave header. He's going in where it hurts because the goalkeeper's coming out. And it reminded me, it was a kind of Larsson-esque header. You know, the one you've really seen Henrik Larsson score. But the cross was on the money and the run. Kuhn's just picked him out brilliantly because he knows he's going to be there. And I think that was a feature of Celtic's playing Saturday. But, you know, he served a wee reminder against Livingston, didn't he, when he came on and he scored. And he enjoyed that. And then he just showed everybody on Saturday, give me the ball in the danger area, I'll score. and he was lucky, unlucky not to get a hat trick. You know, the woodwork and combination of VAR, fair enough. But I just like the fact that Kyogo's coming to the boil at the right time when we need him. And I think you, the three of us, have spoken about that before. We'd said Kyogo's goals could be important in this title race. And I think that's a big feature of the title race now, that they could well be going down to the wire. It could be the one that swings it back Celtic's favour.
I'm firmly of the belief that, Kyogo, when Kyogo isn't at his best, it's almost as if there's like a dark cloud above Celtic Park sometimes. And when Kyogo is at his best, like Saturday, it's almost as if everything is right in the world. And I'm a firm believer that Kyogo's fortunes quite often say a lot about how we're all feeling about the team. And when Kyogo's on form, Celtic are generally a good team to watch. And as I keep saying, I'm just so excited to see, you know, what he can do now. Because point there, I've lost a comment, actually, I'll bring it up. Ronnie saying, you know, I think it's been clever from Rodgers giving Ida a few starts and it's given Kyogo a wee shake-up. I think that's what Kyogo needed, probably. Maybe a shake-up, maybe just the fact that he you know, got a chance to maybe reset slightly and kind of remember what he's doing. But he was certainly either playing a different role at the weekend or he was just getting serviced in that role. But it was so clear that there was a big change, Ryan.
Yeah. It felt like Ange Ball Kyogo had came back, which was great. And I think that's been missing for a lot of this season. Yes, he's had moments, and a season full of moments, you would say, for the team as a whole. But, Saturday afternoon just felt like, you know, that Kyogo well-known love came back to the fore, and it was great to see. That first goal, I don't think he's getting talked about enough, how good that header is, because he's brave. He goes right in front
of the goal. It's like his Kelly one, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's
really like it.
Very, very brave from Kyogo, and a great finish as well. It's helped by the fact that it's such a great ball by Nicholas Kuhn. Yeah. That's the second good ball that he's played like that in as many games. If he can keep that going and keep that weapon sort of going for every game, then Celtic will be on to something in terms of goals and assists, because he got both. It was great to see those two sort of swap roles for the first and second goal respectively. And there seems to be a camaraderie with the players. You know, they all seem quite happy at the moment. They look locked in, but they look happy whenever Kyogo was scoring. You see, I think you've seen that more with the James Forrest goal. All the players are going round and celebrating with each other. They're clearly in a good place, and clearly something has clicked over the past couple of weeks. Yes, the performances maybe haven't been there, but I think they're galvanised now. Going into the international break, they look as if they're in a good mood, and you're just hoping that with players returning after the international break, that they will be in an even better place in a couple of weeks when they play Livingston away from home. But yeah, back to Kyogo. He just looks happy. He looks happy. He looks settled. He's the heartbeat of the team. He's the personality of the team. And I think when Kyogo's doing well, as you were saying, and when Celtic are doing well, it's just a natural sort of relationship between the two.
It's also as well that, not that you would want him to, but Kyogo showed that he can play in left wing with that assist. He has done that before with Vissel Kobe, so it's quite interchangeable, and I quite like that too. I mean, that was a cross that he would have loved to have played to himself for Kuhn's goal, because he played it across blind, but that kind of understanding, as Ryan was talking about there, it's early days, but he played it in there knowing that somebody would be there just the way he would be there. So if anybody is watching Kyogo, he played that ball across thinking, that's the kind of thing I do. So if you do it for me, I'm expecting the same from you. And Kuhn duly obliged, because Kuhn was about 3 or 4 yards off his marker. And yeah, clearly switched on, right? And something I think that they've worked on, you can see that low drilled ball across to either or. And I was happy about that. That pleased me greatly. And also, I don't want Kyogo to play on the left wing, but it was just an indication that if he's out there, he's not going to be wasteful, because he can produce moments like that too, but you prefer him through the middle. And if Kuhn can keep picking him out and spotting those runs, then I think it is an important weapon that Celtic will have their arsenal for the next 8 games, league games certainly.
I love the desire from Kuhn to get in for that goal, and I also love the fact it came within a minute of the restart. How many times this season have we been slow at the start of halves, particularly second halves? We've kind of waited for things to happen. The team really, you know, went after that in the second half, and kind of at that stage probably put the game to bed with that second goal. I just thought there was a lot of positives in our overall play. I thought, I mean, we We scored seven against Dundee a couple of weeks ago. We could have scored seven on Saturday when you look at... I mean, we scored two. We have two ruled offside correctly. For me, we should have had a penalty for a handball. We had Kyogo hitting the bar. Sorry, we scored three, didn't we? We scored three on Saturday, so we could easily have scored, you know, seven or whatever.
Wata missing the season as well, right?
Two. He missed three really good. He had three close chances or close efforts to go. I just thought it was really, really positive. I'm going to fire through a few comments, then we'll get in on Nicholas Kuhn. John saying, I thought the fans were superb, got the team going and stuck with them throughout. There was a tifo before the match. Apparently against Celtic Park rules at the moment, guys. Did you see that from the North Curve? They were saying that tifos apparently aren't permitted at the moment, but there was one on Saturday. Interesting, but I thought that was nice. St Patrick's Day one, of course. Son of Scotland, the wee man is back. Great to see him smiling again, doing his things. A couple of things. Pete, anyone else convinced that AJ's goal should have stood? Now, this was an offside for Adam Ida, wasn't it? Rather than Alistair Johnson.
Adam Ida and James Forrest, I think it's both stood offside.
And it was line. Offside, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was the passage of play prior to the goal. So it was the forward pass that ruled them both offside before Johnson thrashed it into the net. So, yeah, I thought it was tight, but it got it right because the lines proved it was offside, so I have no complaints, but it was a cracking goal.
Just a bit of confusion at the time, wasn't it? Because we all thought it was Alistair Johnson. Johnson was onside, but it was obviously in the lead-up to it. Evil Genius, CCV at the back allows the midfield to feel more comfortable, which allows them to concentrate and feed and kill. 100%, it's what we've all said. I think there's a lot of merit in it, that Carter Vickers just makes a huge difference to the entire team. And what about this, as we move on to Kuhn, Ryan? Derry saying Kuhn, Yang and Kyogo could
really
be a formidable front three.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm always going to bat for Dyson Maida. But it's a growing sentiment, I think, in the support. They want to see those three.
Not the first time that I've heard about those front three potentially playing together. I think that could be extremely formidable if all three of them are picked in the same match. I just think they're all so direct. Kyogo likes direct wingers that'll get to the byline and get a ball into the box. You know, that goal that he scored, or the goal that Kuhn scored, you know, it was Kyogo that was actually playing as the wide man in that at that point. It's just quick. You know, it was quick in the fact that it was only a couple of minutes after half time, but it was also quick in the way it was executed. Three passes and they were through, and it was a tap in. You know, it was the highest XG goal of the game because it was essentially a tap in for Nicholas Kuhn. But you know, he's got to be there, and he. Finished it off expertly. It was a tap in, but you know he did all that he could do, and he was there when it mattered. So I would like to see that front three. It's going to be an interesting battle to see if it's going to be Yang and Kuhn that are fighting out for that one right wing spot. Be interesting to see who Brendan Rodgers goes with in a couple of weeks' time against Livingston. I think it'll be Kuhn because he's on form and he's the player that's been doing it in the past couple of matches. You know, don't take a guy out of the team when...
Yellow jersey, as Tony would say.
Absolutely. That's catching on, by the way. That is definitely catching on, that saying. But it is true. You know, he's the guy on form. I don't think 2 weeks should affect that too much. I think once he's back and ready, you know, have an extra 2 minutes to... an extra two weeks, rather, to get used to... to get his fitness back to even more what it was before he's signing for Celtic. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him back in the team, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
I think we spoke on Saturday after it, and you have like Yang and Kuhn fighting for that. They will both bring out the best in each other, Hamish. So whoever has the yellow jersey know they'll have to perform or else they'll be out the team. And I think that's a wonderful thing to have... Celtic going down the stretch, and Yang has lost his place unluckily because of what happened at Tynecastle, but Kuhn has now come in and he's looking the part, isn't he, and having been earlier written off. So I just think it's brilliant that you'll have all these guys hopefully firing on all cylinders for the last 8-9 games of the campaign, including the Scottish Cup, hopefully it's 10. And I just think that, and Ryan talking about that camaraderie there, and just I think there's a wee kind of surge of confidence from Saturday, just the way they played and the way they made that game, you know, pretty comfortable. And I think, you know, people say, oh, the international breaks came at the wrong time. I actually think it's came at a good time for Celtic because they can get all those players fit. You know, your Hitatis, McGregors, and really ramp it up. And I think the manager said that when those players come back, they're going to attack the last part of the season, which I quite liked from the manager. Celtic going to attack the last part of the season. So that gave me hope, scope for confidence and optimism, especially when you see the likes of Kuhn turning it on and Kyogo hitting a bit of form. I was quite buoyed by that going into Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, just generally, I think there were Greg Taylor had a good game, Iwata, you know, does what he does. I've seen some criticism of Iwata maybe playing it too safe at times. There might be something in that, but I'm kind of happy for him just to do the basics and give the ball to, you know, someone better. I'm hoping Hitati, you know, will be back for the Livingston game to start.
We've lost you, Hamish.
Just went off there when I was in the middle of talking. Hear me, yeah?
Yeah, you hear me now, yeah.
It's always good when your dad phones you halfway through for a FaceTime and you're live on YouTube, but hey ho, he watches the videos on that anyway. Where was I? Yeah, I mean, I just thought there's plenty of positives. You know, Greg Taylor had a good game. Carter Vickers makes such a difference to that team, as we've said. So yeah, no, positive. Do you feel, Tony, like there's something building? Dare I say it? I'm not going to use the whole turning corner patter again, but...
Yeah, I did. I felt, let's put it this way, I felt really positive on Saturday night and I felt better about, you know, the team on Saturday, and I think Celtic will feel better about themselves. There is real kind of, you know, there's green shoots of recovery there, and just when you need it most, you're starting to see signs of things happening and coming together. And it's all going to hinge on Ibrox and Celtic Park when you play Rangers. But I'm more confident now going into games against other teams than I was at any part of this season. But I think Celtic can take care of other teams now. Those two games against your rivals will be pivotal. And yeah, I bring it on now, I'm saying, because I'm liking what I'm seeing. And if we get all the players back and the manager has the chance finally to pick his strongest team, then that's a great dilemma and headache to have, isn't it, down the stretch.
Ryan, anything else from Saturday you want to get off your chest?
You're on mute, Ryan.
Sorry, it's technical issues abound, though. That was my technical issue, that was my problem for muting myself there. I just think Cameron Carter-Vickers being back in the team, I don't think it can be understated how important he is, because it's the fear factor. Being at the game, you notice these things as well. Opposition defenders just won't bother making those extra runs or trying to get through if Cameron Carter-Vickers is there. And you've seen that when he went off the park as well. It was a 10-minute period where Celtic lost a bit of control of the game, and I think that was largely down to the fact that Cameron Carter-Vickers was off the park at that point. He's transformative to that back line. He's the best defender in Scotland by some distance. Between number one and number two in that list, I think there's a chasm, because he's just that good. There was a point in the game where it was just his presence that scared the St Johnstone, his opposition marker, because I don't even think he touched him, but he got the ball back so easily. You know, it was just the fact that the attacker was giving up on going for the ball because he knew that it was a unwinnable task or something like that, because he was just, if Cameron Carter-Vickers is there, then more often than not he's going to win that 50-50 battle. I just think he's transformative, and if Celtic can keep him fit from now until the end of the season and bring back players like Hitati and McGregor, then they'll be in a great position, because that's the spine of the team. The spine of the team is returning for the business end of the season. And if all of them can be fit and firing, then I think Celtic will be in a really good place.
Couple of wee things. The fact we conceded again was disappointing. I think we've had like one clean sheet in like, is it like 7 or 8 or 9 games now? Like, it's a really bad run. And like, even in these games we're dominating, we're giving away daft goals. And I take your point. It's notable to me that it happens when Carter Vickers goes off, but Joe Hart wasn't happy, was he? Second wee kind of point, Paolo Bernardo again for me, like the game kind of passed him by, and I'm kind of wanting Hitati back in that midfield as soon as possible.
I agree with both of those. Joe Hart was raging when he conceded the goal. He was berating his defenders for allowing that to happen, because he pulls off one of the save, well, definitely the save of the game from Stevie May's header. You know, he saves it at point blank range, and his defenders should be there to pick up on the rebound, but Conor Smith is there to fire at home, which was disappointing, because they didn't really deserve to concede on the day. I thought their performance was that dominant that I don't even think St Johnstone merited a goal in the balance of play. But it happens, and you move on, and Rodgers brought on Gustav Lagerwelke a couple of minutes later. I think he realised that maybe I should have brought on an actual centre-back instead of trying to put a defensive midfielder. Centre-back, I know he's...
A square peg in a round hole, Ryan, basically.
If you don't fancy Lagerbielke, then don't put him on the bench, because if there's an option on the bench there as a centre-back option, if you can take a centre-back off and put a centre-back on, then you've got to take that option if he's there. I just think it was... It was a bit questionable from Rodgers, and, you know, he is a defender. No, I know, absolutely. But if he doesn't fancy him, then don't even put him on the bench then.
It was negligent of Rodgers, wasn't it? It was negligence, because you do a like-for-like swap there, regardless if you don't fancy him or not. You preserve your clean sheet then, don't you? And I think Joe Hart was really annoyed, because he made a terrific save.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the second ball, the second ball reaction, which Celtic players...
It was a washer.
Correct. And so, you know, if a centre-back's there, does the guy get the initial header in? No, I don't think so. So I've just, poor Lagerbielke, you know what I mean? The manager just isn't a fan, is he? But I still think you'll have some part to play in the business end. There's your answer. You know, so it's you took off a defender and didn't put a defender on. You conceded. Again, as you see, it's the only blip on the horizon, isn't it, of Saturday's game? Because everywhere else they were pretty sound and pretty solid. Bernardo, yep, I got to agree with you. He's fast fading out the contract extension picture, isn't he? Just not done enough for me. You know, he had a purple patch, but when he scored against Rangers and all that, but not done enough for me to earn that kind of take up the offer to buy, or loan to buy, option to buy deal. So not for me.
He's a weird one, because I think it matters to him playing for Celtic. I don't think he's the kind of guy, because there's been clips going around of him like really celebrating on the bench when we've scored big goals and won, you know, big games and that. So it clearly matters to him. It's almost like his playing style just doesn't allow him to, you know, grab a game by the scruff of the neck. Games just kind of pass him by, and he's clearly a very talented player.
He's too similar to Matt O'Reilly in both the way he looks, probably, and the way that he tries to play. But Matt O'Reilly's better at what he does than what Paolo Bernardo is, so I don't think you need the two of them in the team. I think this is where you're going to really see the difference when Hatate's back in that starting lineup, because Matt O'Reilly can do his own thing. Rio Tati's completely different. You know, he breaks the lines from the midfield. He can go on those surging runs and play a risky pass that isn't always going to... Bernardo's a bit safe, I think, and that can be a good thing, because, you know, his passing accuracy will be good, and he'll go about games and maybe contribute with a goal and an assist here. But if the £6 million that's been rumoured that's on his head for a permanent deal, I don't think Celtic are going to pay that. If it's £2-3 million and there's maybe a deal that can be negotiated between the two clubs, maybe there already is one negotiated, if it does go well, then I'd be all for that, because I think there's a player there. But at this moment in time, I wouldn't be paying the premium rate for a player that isn't really standing out when it's other players that are standing out at the moment.
What about this from Logan then? I would explore the option of possibly taking Bernardo for another year on loan.
Not a worse shout, is it? Because I think at best you would try and get Bernardo for, Ryan says here, £3 million, but you're talking £5 or £6 million. I think Celtic would think they could get somebody better for that level of money. Just my own personal opinion on that, you know, but and I agree with you. I think there's a player there because he's shown it.
Yeah, definitely.
But he's just not shown it enough, has he? To sort of say, to make you say at the end of the season, it's a no-brainer. You know, the way Jota
did. Like a Jota, or Carter Vickers.
Yeah, where you just went, got to get this guy, pay the money.
Yeah.
there's been moments again, going back to the moments in the season, hasn't there? He's had moments, but not been enough of them for me at this minute. But if we could get another year loan out of him, I think that'd be a great solution.
We were saying the same about Matt O'Reilly last season as well, and then he came onto a game this season. You know, he wasn't automatically a first back because of Arden Moy. Sometimes it just takes that extra maybe year or so as acclimatisation, then he'll come good. You're just hoping that he's doing well in training. He's got used to the physicality of the league. That's what Brendan Rodgers was saying was the reason why he was only playing Champions League games at one point in the season, which was odd, but you could see why. Maybe another year on loan to get him used to it even further. Maybe next season could be standout year before signing him permanently. If it's 2-3 million, then I think Celtic should sign him. But if it's 5-6 million, then I think they could probably get better somewhere else. But a good pedigree of player, and definitely a player that's had moments this season. Maybe he'll still have moments in the season to come. But at this point in time, I don't think I'd be paying the premium rate for him.
He certainly doesn't start in that midfield when Hatate comes back, never mind Callum McGregor. You can't not mention Jamesy, says Son of Scotland.
Can't.
As a good Prestwick boy, I can't possibly not mention the Prestwick Pelly doing it again on Saturday against St Johnstone. I mean, I don't know the stats, but he must have more goals against St Johnstone than any other team. He scored 4 that time at McDermott. He scored that big one in the Cup semi the season before last.
He's got 104 career goals for Celtic. I think you'll find that like 99 of them are against St Johnstone. So something like
15
that.
Against Rangers.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. But no, just every time you write Jamesy off and you think, he's done, he's finished, he's whatever, however you think about him, he always comes on and he does something, doesn't he? Because he scored a cracker at McDermott Park in the 3-1 game previous, and you know, with his typical side of the boot finish that he likes, but he just produces, doesn't he? And I think he is the definition of an unsung hero at Celtic, isn't he? Because he is the most decorated player there, isn't he? And yet you would ask, there's still Celtic supporters whose jury will never accept the fact that he's been a wonderful player for the club and a wonderful servant. And you just love to see it. You love to see him coming on and contributing. And I know he's winding his Celtic career down, but see when he can contribute like that, that's why he stayed around for so long.
Again, there's something going on with James Forrest, though. Like, that's a couple of games he's come on as a sub and looked good. So again, that's something else we can maybe just grasp to for the rest of the season. That maybe he's someone who can come on. And James Forrest will score at least one more goal this season, I'm pretty sure, you know, coming off the bench, because he gets chances. He had that goal, and he also had the one where he kind of run and did the traditional, whatever you call it, flick through his legs and kind of ran out of steam a wee bit. But he still, you know, got quality, there's no doubt in that. The women's team beat Rangers 2-1 yesterday to move within a point of them at the top of the SWPL. I saw that Celtic Park is also going to be open for a couple of SWPL matches the rest of this season. So just wanted to mention that. It's always nice to see a victory over Rangers at any level. So well done to the women's side. Tash Flint scoring both of her goals. And also, have you seen this stuff about the US pre-season tour? Possibly. The Celtic posted the thing online and it had the kind of 3 monuments or buildings behind Cameron Carter-Vickers and Liam Scales. I believe that we're looking at Washington, D.C., Indiana and North Carolina, based off of the image. So who are we playing? Are you hearing anything, guys?
Could be a quick return.
Rangers?
Playing against Leah Lavadas, Charlotte FC, if it's North Carolina, if you're looking for an MLS team. Looking forward to it, though. Not so much maybe looking forward to the early rises to watch those games, but at the same time, you know, it's going to be interesting. Either you stay up or you get up really early in the morning.
Prime time for me, Ryan. Prime time,
absolutely. Yeah.
I've got an idea, Ryan. Let's take the Celtic way stateside. You don't need to get up early in the morning, right? Tourists can do it live from the good old US of A. Fancy that?
And say Dunkin' Donuts.
Ah, yeah, exactly. If you want to find all the Celtic Wave Boys, they're hanging out in the donut shop. You know what I mean? It's one of them.
But no, it's always good. Always good for the exposure. Good for the American boys as well to go. You know, Alistair Johnson, I know he's Canadian, but North America, you know, he seemed pretty excited about it on Instagram yesterday. Cameron Carter-Vickers going back, you know, I think he'll be a staple of the national team for the USA because they've got quite a few centre-backs that are, 32, 33. Tim Ream, I think he's about 34, 35 years old. So he's going to be a staple for the next 5, 6, 7 years. It's going to be great for him to bring his... to bring his club side over to America and to meet all the Celtic fans. I know there's loads of Celtic fans over there, as well as neutrals that will be wanting to go and see Celtic. So it's definitely going to be good, a good money maker, but good for the Celtic fans that are stateside to see their team. I'm sure it'll be interesting to see who they play, because I know that loads of teams go to America during pre-season. Maybe some glamour friendlies are on the way.
Wasn't there talk of Spurs going as well, somebody said?
They've just announced they're coming here to Melbourne, Spurs. So I don't know if that'll affect their...
Possibly,
I think they're playing Newcastle here. How versus...
Like 2 days after the league season's over.
Yeah, it's, that it's might be different, fun. But...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's exposure, I guess. But I'm looking forward to... The three monuments would point to three games. Maybe, I don't know, there maybe might be a game in Canada as well. That'd be great for Alistair Johnson if that was the case, if he could do the USA and Canada. But... be a good moneymaker for the club, good for the fans that are over there, and should be some interesting ties along the way.
Gary telling you to to buck up, Ryan. We get up at 7 a.m. here to watch Celtic all year. You can do it once.
Yeah, I'll give it a go. I'll
hard to argue with
best.
That.
Yeah, I'm used to getting up early for the UFC and that anyway, so you know it should be all good. And it's Celtic, and I got up for those Melbourne games as well, so. Or the Sydney Super Cup games.
Sydney.
So.
Oh, they were well worth it. That Everton game was well worth getting up at 3 a.m.
We just remove all doubt, Ryan, and we go road trip. Yeah, so that's basically what's happening here. You know what I mean? I mean, I get early warning shots over the bow to those in charge. You know what I mean? See how it goes.
You get big crowds at those, I tell you that, because we've got we were talking about this to a pal last night. We sold out Fenway Park for a game against Sporting Lisbon about 10 years ago. Now, I know that's New England, isn't it? This is slightly different, but there's still going to be a big, you know, Irish Celtic supporting contingent that will travel to these games.
Of course, yeah. I mean, as Ryan says, they're big money spinners, but it's the exposure, isn't it? And there's a... you'll always find a contingent of Celtic supporters wherever you go, especially in places like Australia and America. So, you know, those kind of fixtures do well, which is the appeal of them for the club, and as much as anything. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be great fun. It'd be great fun to go and actually work at them. But if we don't, then fine. Ryan, you're getting up early doors. Hey, I'm sure it's not so much of a hardship when you're there covering the club that you love, but yeah, it's I do enjoy these kind of... lots of people don't like the pre-season matches, but I enjoy the kind of atmosphere surrounding these pre-season trips and stuff like that. And you know, you're interested to see who comes in, who's new to the squad, and all that kind of stuff. But I just love the ambience that these things create and the goodwill.
We're certainly going big in the old pre-season friendly matches, aren't we? You know, Australia, well, that was mid-season, yeah. Japan. In the USA, I wonder what's next. What's the next country we can take over?
I'd like to actually go to South Korea. You know, I know we were supposed to go there before.
I think that would be the next one, probably.
Yeah, especially with the emergence of Yang as well. So that's definitely something to look at. But there's plenty of markets for Celtic to be shopping in, not just for the transfers, but for their actual games in pre-season as well. Always good to market the club properly, and it's good to see they're going stateside. Can't remember the last time they actually went state. Would it have been...
Real Madrid?
Philadelphia.
I'm stuck off the top of my head unless somebody can...
2-0 defeat. Dylan McGeer got a horrendous head knock in that game.
Yeah, they went to Philly.
That'd be 2012, I think.
It was the one with the loads of hoops. It was the home top with loads of hoops. 2012, 2013.
Yeah. So anyway, Pete suggests in Russia for our next trip. I somehow doubt that will be the case. And no, I'm not doing the accent, son of Scotland. 4 or 5 messages. Hamish, do your American accent. Either you want to volunteer in.
That sounds like your forte, Hamish, so I'll leave you to it.
I'll pass. Thanks very much. So, right, I think we'll head off, guys. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in once again. Really appreciate it. Back tomorrow. We've now got an international break to kind of look forward to and dread or whatever way you want to look at it. So we'll find stuff to talk about, I'm sure. So stick with us. Remember the offer we've got at the moment, 6 months for just £1. And you also get a Kyogo poster. Is that the right word?
Print. A Kyogo print. Yeah. 6 months of access for £1. www.celticway.co.uk/subscribe. You'll get the instant analysis, detailed player ratings when the international breaks back. All the pieces that we've got a scouting piece coming out later on a player that Celtic have been linked with, a certain goalkeeper that I cannot pronounce his name. Don't put me on the spot, but there is a scouting report coming out either today or tomorrow regarding a goalkeeper from the Eredivisie. Maybe talk about him more tomorrow, but yeah, that'll be coming to later on today, as well as opinion pieces and Alan Morrison's analysis pieces too. So if you are interested in all that, www.celticway.co.uk/subscribe.
Marvellous. Thank you very much. Right, okay, everyone. Chat to you soon. Bye.
Cheers, guys.